we'll have a wee prayer, and then we'll start. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please bless it, Lord. And Lord, just wherever people are gathering together to praise you and to worship you and to really study your word, Lord, please bless it. Thank you for all your many helps and blessings. Pray to be with those that aren't here this evening. And Pat and Steve, John and Catherine, and for Will, Christine and Mary Ann as well. A lot going on, Lord. I pray that you would look after them. I pray that you would spare lives. I pray, Lord, for that for Israel, for a great blessing upon them. Lord, especially in America at this particular time, you would hinder greatly those that are optimistic. Bless those, Lord, that are seeking your word. Lord, for our brothers and sisters, churches around the world, for those that are gathered together, maybe punishing round about, man, please help each and every one of us. I love you and thank you. I ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your book. Amen. Right, we've got a new one, number 38 in the books. Number 38 is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Son. Now, it's new to our books, but it is an old hymn. I'm hoping that you will know the tune as soon as we as soon as we can. Let's see what it does.
Thank you. Tonight's reading is from the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4, the last book of the Old Testament, and just before the book of Matthew. It's going to be a short one and a sweet one. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And they shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and they shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen.
Thank you.
Powerful verses, well worth a wee read. Amen. That is the verse number 5 there, speaks to us about the time the Lord spoke to his disciples and said, if you can take it, Elijah was actually John the Baptist, whom they took and killed. Just want to remind everybody about the wee yellow prayer lists. I think that will be, I think that will be updated this coming weekend. So, is there anything else we need to put on here in prayer? And yes, Lynn. Our insurance. Amen. Pray for Norman. He's still got cold or something working on him. That's going to have a sore back working on me. Please pray for us. Please also remember Steve. Steve is going in, all being well, tomorrow morning, bright and early in Belfast. to get a dialysis lines put into his arm. So you bear Steve in mind, the quickest appointments for like 8 o'clock in the morning. So please pray for that. Anything else? Can't think of anything else. Didn't hear how things went for Ed Bissett, did you?
The day when I had his treatment.
Yesterday,
and I haven't heard anything.
Please continue to pray for Ed Bissett as well. Don't forget Will, Christine, and Marianne. John and Catherine, to the best of my knowledge, back safe and sound from Amsterdam, and everything is grand there. So, let's just have a wee prayer and then we'll continue on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, and I thank you again, Lord, that we can come before you boldly, not because of who we are, but because of who we put our trust in. I thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the offer and the acceptance in my life and the lives of others here of that free gift of eternal life. And, Lord, we just want to bring before you a few things that we have in our hearts and minds. First of all, there's Steve and this new procedure he has tomorrow. With Norman and whatever's keeping him low at the moment, I pray about that. Myself, with the sore back. Carol also has scans tomorrow, John, isn't it? 21st. Please look after Carol as well, Lord. For Christine and Marianne, and for all of those, Lord, that are just a bit low or under the weather, I pray that you will put their hand under their arms, Lord, and lift us all up. Pray you too, Lord, for legal issues, for Lane and Norma. I pray you, Lord, that you would go before both of them and fight for them, Lord, and defeat their enemies, Lord, legally speaking. And please bring people, Lord, to... Lord, do they understand that there is only one God, and His glory will, you know, your glory you don't share with anybody. I pray you too, Lord, for everything that's going on over in Israel. I pray that you would bless and keep and protect Israel, no matter what happens, no matter what forces are levied against them, Lord, that they would be victorious. And I pray you, Lord, that at every turn you would hinder those that are set about the work of the devil, whether they're big or small, great or small. Please hinder them at every turn, oppose them, Lord, in life, and Lord, convict them greatly in the rest times and the down times, Lord. I pray for all the leaflets that have gone out, Lord, all the words that have been heard, and I pray that you would use them, Lord, to speak to souls about their encounter. I pray for Pastor Sealing, his family and church family, for his Bible, for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Sealing, Lord, and the families and church families at Black Creek. Pray for Stan, for Ed Bissett, Lord, folks in Temple Patrick and in Bangor, Lord, Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, and the people up there at Appengelden. There's definite need for Christians to be Christians, and I pray you please for power and wherewithal and wisdom, Lord, and Lord, just everything. We really do love you and thank you, and we pray, Father, that for these things and our private prayer requests to be granted according to your will. Please save souls, Lord, and please don't be done with us. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song or two. It's time to read Black Book. Unless someone has a hymn they want to sing particularly, we're going to sing. I'm just going to say, I drove past. There it is there. Number 34. Number 34 is Jehovah Said King. Number 34, Jehovah Said King.
I'm Bye.
20 and verse 20 this evening, if you'd like to take a turn there. Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse number 20, and I only want to read these 7 verses. And just trying to think of a title for the message, and I came up with a couple. I hope one of them works for you. But have obligations, duties, or priorities, whichever one floats your boat. But that's what we're going to be speaking about for a few minutes this evening. And we're reading in Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse number 20. Amen. And the word of God says, and they watched him. That is the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, let's start at 19. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same are, sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign or pretend themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a pen. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Now, we are taking, there's only 7 verses in that, but take them all as our text this evening. And speaking on the subject of obligations or duties or priorities, let's have a quick prayer and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the day. Thank the Lord for the desire and the ability to be here this evening. And I pray that you would bless the faithfulness of every head inspired in your presence today. Please help us as we take this time in your word. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. And please add your blessing, strength, words, and teaching to anybody that is standing to preach the full counsel of your word and to the ears of those who hear it. We really do need you, God. I ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are talking about one of the most delicate subjects in the Bible. And we're not talking about who you should get married to, or who you should be boyfriend or girlfriend to, or not even about how many children you should have. Because some people consider these things to be very personal, and in some cases, none of anybody else's business, and I would agree with them. But we're talking about money, and money's a weird old thing. This is particularly about money, but this is more about the reasons behind why we do things. And this is, as we read this, it's a scenario that repeated itself time and time again, where religious people who were jealous of a man that could do anything had always the right words to speak and literally knew what was going on in their heads. They were always trying to trip him up. I want to tell you, there's a good reason why God, they could never trip Jesus up, is because he knew literally everything that was going on in their minds, and more than that, he knew every word that they were going to say, and he knew, of course, the right words to give them as an answer. You need to watch out, because a lot of times, people are going to try and trip you up, and the first thing they're going to try and do is appeal to your pride. And that's exactly the very first thing they tried to do to Jesus. Just like Nicodemus did in John chapter 3. Rabbi, we know that thou art a great one come from God, for no man can do the things that thou doest, except God be with him. And they said exactly the same thing. We know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any. In other words, treat Caesar like anybody else. How do you figure about paying taxes? That's what they asked, and they just come straight out, try and back him into a corner, and then they try and get him to operate in that little corner that they have backed him into. You need to know, you don't have to play by other people's rules. You, Christian, are playing by God's rules, so remember that. We all know the old story. The Lord says, show me the penny. And they show him a penny, and he points them to a picture of Caesar that's engraved in the back of it. And he says, who's it? Who's this? And he says, it's Caesar. Of course it's Caesar. It's the currency of the day. It's owned by the government of the day and backed by the government of the day. And it's used by the government in a way to control people. And of course they recognize Caesar and they give the correct answer. And then Jesus says a strange thing. He doesn't say the Roman system is evil and it needs to be overthrown. Jesus wasn't a freedom fighter. He didn't come to free slaves on earth. He didn't come to overthrow governments. He came to save souls. And this is what he says. Give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God. In other words, there's things that we need to do in the world, but the way in which we do things in the world is important. And there's two ways of doing it. There's the right way, or God's way, and then there's the wrong way. And his answer was so good that even the tricksters couldn't say or do anything about it. Now, this seems to be a source for misunderstanding in Christian circles. And you need to get a few things in the right order. And three times in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says this: but we are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. One of the Gospels leaves one of them out, but that's what it says. And it also says, just for the sake for an example, it says later on, not in the Gospels, but later on, and I think it was in Paul's letters, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. But in all things, God is to be first. So there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And if you were to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it goes a little bit like this. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit. It says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let every man take care how he buildeth thereupon. Some men are going to build works of gold and silver and precious stones. And some men are going to build works of wood, hay, and stubble. And the Bible says the fire will declare of what sort of work it is. In other words, if you set a match to wood, hay, and stubble, you get a bonfire and ashes afterwards. If you try and set a match to gold and silver and diamonds and jewels, you don't change them one little bit. And the Lord looks at the reason for us doing that. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Has everyone here heard of Mother Teresa? Everybody knows Mother Teresa. She was a nun. I think she was like 80 plus or nearly 90 years old whenever she died. And I think as a young woman, she joined some legion of nuns or some group of nuns. And by all accounts, spent her whole life, according to the PR, working amongst the poor in India. Give her whole life. And many people praise her and laud her for that and say that she did a wonderful thing. But if we were to look at Mother Teresa through God's eyes, this is what we would see. We would see a woman that subscribed to the belief that a couple of decades or a handful of decades of labor in this world is equal to, in fact, better than the sacrifice, the labor that Jesus Christ did on the cross. That is in effect what she's saying. Because Her blood, sweat, and tears was the same as Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears, or better. Because if it was the same as, why wouldn't you accept the work that Jesus done? Because yours is better, or you get the idea. The works then that she did were not done because she loved the Lord. The works that she did were done so that she could trade her way to heaven. So that she could buy her way to heaven. The Word of God says that salvation is not of works, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast, and it is only given to those who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. On the other hand, I know of a missionary who has been on the mission field for 40 plus years. His children were born here. His whole life is wrapped up here. He's been involved in the mission field. He's been involved with a number of church startups and is currently ministering to around 60 people. And I know he's going to heaven because he's saved. And because he is saved, he is serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord because the Lord saved him. He is not serving the Lord in order to get saved. And there's a whole difference. One is trading your works for salvation. The other is working because you're saved. The Lord looks at the reasons behind us doing things. Now, I know that there are times in this life whenever the government isn't there. In fact, I think over the past four and a half years, we've seen a time unlike any other where the government has extended its power and authority into areas of our lives that they've just no business doing. And I've got a lot of people up on their high horse. But nowhere does the Bible say you shouldn't pay your taxes. But even as we look at the government, we see more and more taxes being levied. And I think there's even whispers of, in London at the very least, of levying a pay-per-mile tax. So at every mile you drive your car, not only are you paying for your mileage, which is about 15p a mile, just to put petrol or diesel in the car, 15p at least, you're paying for your road tax, you're paying for your insurance, and then they're going to ask you for more money. Bible says we should pay our taxes to the government, and they're normally taken out of source. And then we've got, supposedly, about 75% of what we have left to do whatever we want with. We should pay our taxes. But what should we do with the rest of our lives? What should we do with the rest of our money? What should we do with our relations? Give an example of how we treat people. We were talking earlier on about the way the Bible says that for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. This is the way in which you love your wives, or wives love their husbands, or you minister to people. Whenever you say that you love your wife and you're prepared to give your life for them, for your wife, husbands, this day in this world would take that to mean that the wife can do anything she likes and the husband will foot the bill. Does that mean that the husband should be happy if his nearest and dearest goes out to a nightclub or away on girls' weekends, the discos, or meets up with different men, takes drink and drugs and engages in casual physical encounters? And the husband is supposed to pay the bill for that? That doesn't mean that at all. It means if you love the Lord, you are to love the people around you with a proper love, not an inordinate affection, but a proper love, a love which does the best for the object of its love, and sometimes that means saying no. And that's not going to happen. The love that I have for you will be constrained and guided by the Word of God, which never changes. It's worked for thousands of years. It will work until the earth is nothing but a ball of ash floating through space, and it will continue to work. That's harmful, not just to you, but to us, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I came across another incident, one that I've come across myself many times, is whenever, have you ever had the people, the what we would call the alcoholics, and they ask you for, it used to be for 20p for a cup of tea, and now it's maybe a pound, or a couple of pounds for a cup of tea. And I think somebody that I knew one time said, look, he said, can you give me a couple of pounds for a drink? I'm dying for a drink. And this acquaintance of mine said, you know what, you're the only honest man here, I'll give you the couple of pounds. Here is the right answer. No, I am not going to give you money that can be spent on alcohol, but if you want, if you're hungry and you want a cup of tea, I'll buy you a cup of tea. Not only that, I'll buy you a sandwich. That way, yes, you're getting more out of me, but it's being done the right way. Do you know the number of excuses that I have come across for people not doing things for God? I can't get to church because I've been babysitting the grandkids because my daughter and her husband are out drinking. So I can't get to church. I can't tithe this week because I'm saving for a holiday, or I just gave the last of my money for a present. I want to wear clothes that feel comfortable and make me look good. This doesn't work in Northern Ireland, by the way. But the Bible says we should be a testimony for God and not for our dieting victories or our workout regime. I didn't have time for church because I was out late the night before. And I had no time for Bible reading because I slept in. But obviously I spend hours on Facebook or the internet or WhatsApp or YouTube or whatever. There are things that we just shouldn't be doing. And God sees through all of those excuses that we would care to throw out there. The Bible says we need to be in church. The Bible says we need to read it. The Bible says we need to pray to God. It is amazing the insights you get when you spend time in God's presence. The Bible even says we need to tithe. Norman was reading in the book of Malachi. I think it talks in Malachi about robbing God, about the people that rob God, Christians that rob God by not putting in their tithe. But there's other areas in our lives that could definitely do with being done the right way. When you go to queue in the shop, if someone pushes in, you can grab them by the scruff of the neck and pull them back and give them a kicking because they dare to push in. But you could say, and obviously you felt like that, John, maybe once or twice. Get your digs in first. You'll be doing that. You can be nice to people. You can engage them in conversation. You can look at people and you can tell in a moment whether that person's having a good day or a bad day. And you can give them a kind word. There's many a time when I can walk up and down that road whenever Dr. Yang says it's okay for me to walk up and down the road again. I can walk up and down that road with a face on me like a long wet weekend. I have to walk. Or I can walk up and down that road and when cars pass me, I can smile and wave. And I have seen people who, well, maybe that would be the only smile they have all day. Simply because I smiled and waved at them. And they will know there is someone that is friendly that lives on the boy road. I have seen people apologizing to me, staff, at tills. Say, oh, I'm terribly sorry. And one of the things that I say to people is, you have to apologize. God made plenty of time. What's 5 minutes to me? I'm going to live forever in heaven. What's 5 minutes? There's a way to do things. Yes, we have to pay our bills. We have to pay for our groceries. We have to, I don't know all the things that we have to pay. Our insurances, our car tax, all of these things. They need to be paid. I even remember getting a fine one time for parking. And it was, I don't know what it was, but it got referred to the police because they sent it to the wrong address. And I sent back a check and I said, thank you very much, apologies for the upset and the clearing of this matter. I would just like to pay my fine, my debt in full to you. Is your debt paid in full to God? And I put that at the end, yours sincerely, Mark Redfield. And I actually got a reply back from a policeman that said, yes, I've trusted in my Lord and Saviour for many years. Thank you for clearing your debt. There's a way to do things, a Christian way to do things, a way that God would be pleased with for us doing things. And it works the whole way through our lives. I remember sitting in the congregation whilst the pastor spoke of him standing in front of his wardrobe, asking God what clothes he should wear. I don't do that all the time, especially the last week. I've just been looking for clothes that are loose and comfortable and warm. I'm not worried about what to wear. But there are times when I've been going to visit someone, I have been praying about it, and instead of wearing boots and jeans and a shirt and a jacket, I'll say, the Lord will really put it upon my heart to dress in Sunday clothes. And sometimes I will do that. There is a way in every situation to serve the Lord. And you can find it if you want to. But I recommend you give it a shot, because it adds an extra dimension to your life. Most people are living lives like that there. There's just a little bit they have in front of their faces, and that's all they know. And they don't realize there is a huge life beyond that, a life of serving God. There is a life where people are actually, they're out there trying to throw a stick in your spokes, trying to trip you up. But there's a God out there that wants to make work miracles, wants to get into that little rut that so many of us are in. And the only way he will get into the rut of a life that many people are in is whenever you bring him, whenever I bring him. Think of it as your duty, as a child of the King of Kings, as a priest for Jesus Christ Almighty. Think of it as a constraint of the love that is shed abroad in your heart by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Think of it as your top priority, because whenever you get to heaven, there's going to be nothing else that matters except what you did for Jesus. Church is not optional. Bible reading is not optional. Spending time in prayer is not optional. Putting money on the plate is not optional. Speaking to others about Jesus is not optional. Jesus has directly asked us to do all of these things. But there's so much more. So much more. I was reminded of a parable. It's in Luke 16. It's before the account of the rich man Lazarus. It's about this man that he was a steward. In other words, he worked with his master's goods. I think he must have done a bit of trading back and forth. And for some strange reason, the steward, he was going to be put out of his work. So this is what the steward said. What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. Cannot dig and to beg and to shame. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said to the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. In other words, give me half of that and we're good. And he said to another, what about you? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, write down 80 and get it here ASAP. The Bible records that the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. In other words, take and use what you have to the best of your ability and praise and glorify God with it. Don't let things use you. If you feel yourself coming under the control of, or having to do things because of what you have or what you own, things that you wouldn't normally do, then those things have control over you and not the other way around. Make sure that you are in charge. If there are things that are going on in your life that are drawing you away from God, well then it might be a good idea to leave those things out. And again, there are examples of that in the lives of those all around us. The Lord said he didn't come to make us a servant of sin. He came to set us free and to make us free indeed. And following God's lead will help you. Not just in church or whenever you're in prayer or reading your Bible, but in every single area of your life. I think we mentioned services gone by about the first time I ever saw Alien on colour TV. I think I was 15 or 16, and I wanted to stay in my uncle's hotel because he had a big TV and it wasn't colour. And I was just going to sit myself down in the middle of the bar and watch it. And my dad insisted on us going home, and I thought, I'm going to have to watch this thing in black and white. And when I got home, there was a colour TV there, and I sat glued to the TV to watch the Alien. That's how long ago it was, the first showing of the Alien on TV. The difference of colour, the difference between colour and black and white, the difference between 4K and the old DVDs is the difference between doing things God's way and doing them our own way. It really does make a difference in your life when you put God first. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your patience and your indulgence. If you'd like to take the wee black books and turn to number 16. Hymn number 16. That is number 6. Your foot will stand as we sing.
Tender hand, greater than me, from shame.
Thank you again. Don't forget our prayer requests for yourselves and for everybody else. And I look forward to seeing you all again soon. Bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll be dismissed for the week of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time in your presence around your word. These good old songs, Lord, are glad you want us with. Please bless us as we part company. Please look after our brothers and sisters wherever they are. I pray you, Lord, for a work to be done in many men's souls. Love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. We'll shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.